Hello, podcasting friends, and welcome to Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches, podcast episode 4. In this episode, we are talking about social storytelling in a noisy social media world. What we're going to talk about today is how to, one, what is storytelling? Two, how can you structurally actually tell your story? And three, how you can turn that into tons of content to make a really great social media schedule that really engages with your core audience. And four, what are some of the features and platforms that you can use to really stand out from the crowd? So let's get right into it. And we're live. We're live.
Hi, everyone.
You're awesome. Live.
Awesome. After Dan's internet dropped 90 seconds before we went live.
It's a thunderstorm, I'm telling you.
It came back. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Nedelko. Welcome to episode 132 of Live at the Hive. After you, Chad. Introduce yourself.
Hi. I'm Chad. Thanks for joining us.
That's a Spanish.
Not producer Matt. Producer Matt. Matt was a producer this week.
I was producer. Yeah. Came out of producer retirement. It was awesome. We did a webinar this week, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Couldn't have gone better.
It was really good times for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So diving right in this week, we are going to be talking about. Well, I feel like my head's getting cut off on Facebook. I'm good. This week we are talking about social media storytelling, how to cut through the noise. And the real point of this week's topic is as things get back to the new normal and as we're starting to see businesses open up and we're starting to see people come back to it. Now, social media is one, it's still incredibly powerful, but there's a lot of noise out there right now. And how do you take your brand and cut through some of that noise?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now that things are starting to reopen, people are preparing to reopen in the coming weeks. I think it got pushed to June 9th a couple days ago. So now people are starting to kind of get in process. People are going back into their workplaces, making sure everything's still working fine and things. But people are also starting to put out more messaging than ever. People are wanting to communicate that they're opening in the next couple of days. So how do you kind of cut through everything?
Absolutely. And Chad, I know this is some of the stuff you've been working on in your day-to-day, right? You've been...
Just doing social posts and kind of creating stories and, just kind of create a bit of an authentic feel. And you're essentially just trying to, like, kind of tell your brand story instead of, trying to push promotion and selling all the time. Show something, like, a little bit more value. Show your customers and your audience who you are and what you're all about.
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, hello, Susan Chilton's here.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Look at this. I've got two of your marketing gifts on.
Yes, I
invited the whole team, the whole class. I invited.
Oh, look at you! Yeah, you're a bit of a rock star, then, aren't you?
Yeah, I figured, it's all everyone's in the same industry, so it'd be good insights for everyone.
Absolutely, good. And actually, we should take a minute to congratulate Chad because Chad, unfortunately, had a virtual graduation.
Yeah, it was nice, but it was different.
Yeah, was it?
It was a bit of an anticlimactic ending to the diploma, but crazy times. What do you do?
Yeah, right? It's okay.
It was cool though. We worked around it, and we all got together, and we did a little big Zoom meeting, and everyone had their. We made our own little graduation caps. It was fun.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Well, you're actually just to give a bit of Chad's story here. Your work term was very quickly shut down with us when you were in, I don't know how far you were, two-thirds of the way through?
Maybe two-thirds. I think I was in the third week, and then the quarantine hit really written in the middle of co-op. They canceled co-op, and then directly after that, they essentially just canceled graduation, and canceled the awards, and the whole end of it. We're all kind of planning to get together and have a little celebration when it's allowed. But yeah, it all kind of happened at once. And then, I stayed on Honeypot for, I think, an extra week or so, and just on my own time, just to help out while you guys were down as a team member. And then, I went back to school for a month, finished everything up, and
here we are.
It was an interesting transition. I went from, well, school, I spent like most of my time doing most of my work, like the bulk of it at home. So I already had a bit of an office set up. So it was a pretty smooth transition. It was kind of nice being able to meet the team and everything before getting onboarded too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That probably helps quite a bit.
Absolutely. Okay, good stuff. Gifty Jacob Matthews says, hi, Chad Gillen.
Hey, Gifty. He was a classmate. Amazing designer. He's a very, very, very talented artist.
Right on.
Yeah, and he did graphic design and marketing in India before he came here.
Oh.
He had been doing it for a few years, actually, and then when he came here, he had to get his diploma here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good stuff. Welcome, everybody. And like I said, today we are talking about how to tell stories on social media. Anybody have a favorite pick out of the what's new to cover? There? Or I can pick.
Chad, do you want to go?
Okay, let's take a look here. The Gary Vee article that Yvonne posted was actually really good. I don't know. I really like Gary Vee, though. Everything he says is awesome.
You somewhat read my mind, and bam, there it is.
Excellent.
It was the first one I had up and out of this. And if anything, if you know Gary Vee, he is very good at storytelling. I think he's a natural storyteller, so that makes it easier in a sense for him. He's also not afraid to, you know, just grab that iPhone with a headphone in a car when it's noisy and go live and tell those stories that are very engaging. And that's, I think, the biggest thing is you want to engage directly with your audience, regardless of whether you're a small business or B2B. I think engaging and connecting with people rather than broadcasting at them is incredibly important in this era of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he talks about that in the article a little bit too, just about how, like, even just grabbing his iPhone, being on the airplane and kind of banging out some content and then breaking that up and then kind of using it as like, small little snackable things that he can post. But one thing too, is he was even saying that his team would kind of like bug him to make things more polished and look more professional. And he would just be like, nope, put it out just like this. And it does it. It gives it more of a genuine feel, I think.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing about, I think businesses tend to forget about social media being a place that you should be connecting rather than broadcasting, right? You know?
Yeah.
Let's see here. I'm trying to find
the communication channels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, like even then, whenever I think of storytelling too, it's like, I think number one is whenever I'm thinking about creating a post or telling a story on social media, it's kind of, what do I want the audience to feel, or what kind of feeling am I trying to connect with the audience right off the bat? You know what I mean? And kind of taking into account previous posts and kind of how to go off the previous stories that we're telling on the post, right? I mean, sometimes if you're posting one thing and posting another, the stories kind of cross and it's not linear, you know what I mean? You're breaking it in two different directions. And I think a lot of the times, a lot of businesses can kind of get trapped in that where, you know, they're trying to put out social media content, they're trying to, keep up to date with the frequency. But when people do that, I think they really lose touch of the story that they're trying to tell for their business or for their products, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, I think what a lot of people that aren't as comfortable with social media get hung up on is, you know, what kind of content am I going to share? So what they end up defaulting to are generic articles, and it doesn't really have a soul to it.
No.
Right?
Yep.
And we'll find that part in here, but in this particular article, because it is really well done. I think the important thing to keep in mind is a few key points. You know, everybody starts a social media profile at zero.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's a really good point.
You know, and don't be afraid. If you've got 100 followers or, you know, then work to getting 150, right? And go ahead. Sorry, Matt.
And I was going to say, I know previously it's kind of a mantra, the honeypot, but like you could have tens of thousands of followers but only get 15 likes on a photo that you have. You know what I mean? But you could have 100 followers and get, like, I'd probably say 80% engagement rate from your followers, right? There's a difference between having a large following but having an engaged community.
Well, yeah. And you, And you do see that, right? You do see that with especially big brands that have possibly been purchasing or not purchasing. Some have in the past, for sure, through kind of black hat means. But even brands that have invested in getting fans, and you'll see the ratio to total fans versus engagement is incredibly low. Like if you've got 10 million followers and you're getting 190, 200 reactions on a post, that's not really that engaging, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you start looking at the percentages, it's pretty low.
It's very low, and that's very, very, it's very common that you see that with a lot of brands. And so I think the important thing, and again, you know, you can dial this down to a small local business to a, say, provincial business that has, you know, 50, 60, 70 locations to B2B professional services. It doesn't, like, this really does apply to any business out there. And I think you touched on it there too. So, Matt, is if I'm a dental clinic in Waterloo or even Toronto, what is my real addressable audience? Like, who do I want to get in there? I want people that live in a reasonable distance from my clinic, and I want them to be able to do it. So that addressable audience might be, you know, 25,000 people, could be more, right? But you really do, that's your target. Those are the people you should really be paying attention to. So understand that, yeah, you know what, if you're going to get to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 fans, that's okay, right? Those are your
For a local business, that's amazing. For a local business, that's great. That's what you want to aim for. I would say anything above like what your target population is within a certain radius of your community, I would say if you go outside of that, you're just fooling yourself, because that's not the type of people that you want to attract, really. You know what I mean?
No, you're not really attracting customers at all.
Yes. Exactly. You're just, it's, yeah. I mean, there's no real kind of ROI on that when you're trying to go outside of that area, because realistically, are you going to bring in those people to your practice? Are people going to drive like an hour and a half to your practice? I don't think so.
So Gary took my triangle and inverted it. In all fairness, I have a similar graphic. I'll pull it up in a bit. I mean, it's got to be going on 6-7 years old now. So it's okay, Gary. You can use that one. No, I didn't.
I'm sure it's caring.
I'm sure I didn't invent it. But this is a great example right here of a content pyramid. Give me a second, and I'll get the other one up there. But this is a really great way to create consistent content, is by creating what we call cornerstone or anchor content. Gary Vee is calling it document pillar. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a long form blog post, or you've done a webinar, or you're recording video calls, or you're doing a live stream like this, right? So, you know, every week out of this, we get 45 minutes to 1 hour of content, right?
Yep.
That's a substantial amount of content. To be able to use and reuse, and what it does is it enforces storytelling. Like I'm hope that every week we're telling a bit of a story. I mean that's
cool.
You know, and that's a way, so you can do the same thing. So if you've got a flower shop and you're talking about different bouquets and different flowers and whatever, right? You could shoot a video with your iPhone or your Android phone just about these flowers and these arrangements and how you do it,
yeah,
right? You can then turn that with a little video editor on your phone, whether it's iMovie or whatever. You could turn that into short 45 to 60 second videos and then post those throughout the week. Boom, right?
Yeah.
You're telling your story.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's one of the keys, is really content reuse.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think over time as you do that, you kind of build up a content library, or in this case, you can kind of call it like a story library, right? Where you have content that you can go back to, content that you can share with your audience, different times, whether it's Maybe if you have an arrangement that people are really engaging with this week, but a couple weeks ago someone else was really engaging with another arrangement that you're putting up for your flower shop, you can always post it in the comments too and continue the story from there, right? Hey, if you like this one, check out this one that I did last week or something, right? So you kind of build up content over a certain period of time, and you can kind of start distributing that and adding it to your regular engagement schedule or social schedule.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Here, I'm going to pop this up on the screen in a second. And I think one of the things, oh, sorry, Chad, were you going to say something there?
No, I was just going to say that's the great thing about kind of creating valuable content is that you can kind of always go back to it and then take little snackable, you know, clips out of it and, you know, reshare those when they're relevant, you know, when it works for whatever platform you're on. For sure.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm just going to share ours here. Okay, so you can see here what we do. And this is, we're talking about constructing a content machine based on stories that you can tell. And what we will get into is, you know, how do I tell a story? And I think what I've heard from some people say is, I don't know how to tell a story. I'm not comfortable. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're a business owner or if you're in business, you have got, trust me, you've got a story to tell. I think universally, right? Universally, yep. You know, your origin story, to use a comic book term. How did you get there? You know, what are some of the things that have happened? Yeah, go ahead, Matt. I see you want
to say. Well, we're really impressed by it. It's an emotional story, and a lot of the times we say, "Look, we'd love to share this with your target audience. We'd love to share this with people. Put it on your website as a testimonial."
Matt, Skype just went crazy. You were doing like the robot dance. You want to start from the beginning there and do it one more time?
It's okay. Yeah, no problem. Basically, we hear it a lot with our clients. They have an amazing story. It's an emotional story, and it captures people's attention. However, a lot of the times they don't think it's an important story to tell. Why would I want to tell people this story of how we started? But if it's an emotional story and that it captures people, it's a story that you want to tell, and it's a story that you're going to want to share. And I know that this happened with us earlier this week, Dan, where we were talking with a client and they have a really great story, mm-hmm. but they were on the fence about sharing it with their audience or sharing it and or putting it somewhere public like their website. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of the times is these stories help your business, and it helps tell the story of your business and why you're in business, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, you hear tons of stories about, you know, businesses that started out in the basement and, you know, I struggled for years and then hired one person and then finally got an office or a shop. And those are the stories that your customers are really going to care about, right? So that,
sure.
That origination story is really great. There's always, you know, your first sale, right? The kind of George mm-hmm. Jefferson framed $1 bill from the Jeffersons kind of thing. And those are really great stories. Another arc that you can go with in terms of how to tell a story is all of the, you know, so many businesses, and it's really great, especially now, community involvement is a huge, huge thing, right? How you're involved, like tell the stories of the things that you are involved with in your community and the things that you and your business are doing to make your community a better place, and tell those stories. And
there's going to be tons of stories out in the community right now. Your COVID-19 story. What's your COVID-19 story of your business?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's going to be a huge story soon. This is tell people. This is tell your audience. This is how we came back from it. This is how we coped with COVID. This is how we helped other businesses. This is how we helped you throughout COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another story that people are going to want to hear and that businesses should be telling their audiences for sure.
Yeah. And for example, if you're in real estate, then you can give out advice to people that are thinking of buying or thinking of selling or thinking of refinancing a mortgage. I mean, right now there are so many questions all around taxes and financing and all of these things, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are huge questions that if you are in the mortgage, finance, or real estate, which, as we all know, is a huge, huge chunk of people that do
for
that.
For sure.
You know, whether it's a webinar or a live stream where you're answering people's questions, collect your customers' clients' questions. Mm-hmm. You know, send out an email saying, I'm here to answer your questions right now.
Yep.
And I mean, I think any business could do that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And I think, look, like we definitely laid out how to tell the story and kind of what your story should be, or how to kind of communicate your story with your audience. But like I said before, with COVID, there's going to be a lot of stories and there's going to be a lot of posts, and a lot of people are going to want to be communicating with people, and it's going to be noisy. So I think the next step of this conversation, and I think we're moving along to it really nicely, is how are we going to cut through that noise? Other people's stories. How are we going to make our story front and center with people?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. Just a couple of other points I think that are important is, you know, the popularity of people like Gary Vaynerchuk, for example, especially to people that are interested in marketing and in business, which is a lot. There's one irony about consumption. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Take for every single piece of content you consume, create a piece of content.
Yeah.
Don't get stuck into the constant consumption, but then you're not creating, right? That, mm-hmm. that it actually can become, if you're reading all of the books on how to become a productive in business and how to, you know, do this and how to do that, and watching this podcast or listening to this podcast and watching these live streams, and eventually you got to realize that you're consuming, not creating.
Yeah, it's right? true.
And yep. So the advice that I've got for people that are in business looking to cut through is for every piece of content that you are consuming, create an equal piece of content, right? And you can. Yep. The second one takeaway that I think is important, and this where people will say, well, you know what? I'm not a videographer. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. Document your life. That's really all it is.
I was going to mention that he actually goes on about that in the article, saying that you should, it's better to document than to create sometimes, because then you can take all that stuff that you're documenting and you can use that to create content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And everybody can document. I mean, look, you could do a video going when you're, if you're starting to maybe slowly reopen your business, document it. Like, talk about, you know,
tell the story.
Tell the story. And that's, I mean, fundamentally, those stories in and of themselves will cut through a lot of the BS noise that you can see on social media networks, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's important for businesses to understand that these are not broadcast mediums, right? They're really mm-hmm. not. That's not what they're all about. So mm-hmm. broadcasting will not get you very far. And I'll give you just an example. And this actually came from a Gary Vaynerchuk video. I don't know where I ran into it. I can't remember. But for musicians, labels will spend $3 to $4 million easily to try to make a video go viral, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where they could go and release their music into the TikTok world, get 14 to 16 year old influencers to do a dance and get it going, you will outpace the effectiveness of that $3 to $4 million spend on TikTok.
For sure. Like, that's wild.
Because it's so organic. It can blow up. And it's far mm-hmm. more powerful right now than almost any other organic network, as far as it goes in terms of the ability to go viral and to also have an outside halo effect on top of that. And I think one of the things he mentioned was go look at the top 50 right now and then map them to TikTok songs and to TikTok mm-hmm. performance. And it's pretty scary to see that top 50 mapping. So
I can see that. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what Matt just mentioned as a segue there, which is, okay, we've got this content. We understand this content map that we've got. We're going to create larger pieces of content, be able to cut those up into smaller pieces of content. We're going to document, not create, because we want people to hear our story. And that's the goal of social media's engagement. Now, there are certain things on the social networks, I think, that help you cut through as well. And those are formats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just as an example, I think I pull up this one here from Hootsuite. There we go. Instagram stories.
Mm-hmm.
this is something that that we do quite a bit of. They're very, very effective. And I think doubling down on stories for Facebook and Instagram is a great way to help cut through. You're out of the news feed, for example, and you're out of the Insta feed, and you're getting a little, a much more direct engagement with that audience.
For sure. I think another one, we keep talking about Facebook groups, but learning the algorithm and kind of using the platform frequently, you kind of get an insight on where the content is showing first and what content shows up at the top of your feed. So for example, a couple months ago, Facebook did a revamp of all their groups and actually prioritized group postings within the algorithm so that you see group postings first before any of your friends, really. So maybe creating a social calendar is great for your pages, but maybe being proactive with that content, posting it in groups, joining a couple groups, whether they be local or international groups, post your content, share with people. People who are in that group are going to see it first on their timelines. Right. So it's another great way that you're going to be able to cut through that the noise. You're going to be able to cut through the noise of ads. You're going to be able to cut through the noise of other pages that people are following. Right. So that's another great way to kind of cut through the noise that, that people are going to be showing within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to go back to Gary Vee again, but that's another thing he said was that you can essentially. What was it? No, I can't remember. I just lost it. Oh, no. Oh,
brain fart. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
That's the
worst.
Is
it 5 o'clock?
It's getting there. It's close. Okay, one thing just on those formats. This is very important. A way to cut through. And there is a paid component to this as well. I think it's important to understand that don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to boost and promote with a small budget or a bigger budget, whichever.
Yeah.
But in terms of what Matt just said in terms of groups, and this is universal, both by platform and by feature, certain features are always have preferential treatment within each one of those platforms. So if we look at Facebook, for example, a preferential treatment that goes outside of the algorithm is a live stream. Facebook wants live streams. They want video. They want good quality, consistent live streams, hopefully like this one. Cross your fingers. But those are ways, those actually go, like certain things in these algorithms skirt around the normal suppression of regular content, right? The standard photo or post content. Live streams are one of them. Matt just pointed out another one, which was groups. Groups are, as Facebook said last year, that's their focus, right? Groups and personalized communications. So that also includes stories. And then from a feature perspective, anytime there is a new there's a new feature that's released, jump on it because you will get preferential treatment, right? They don't invest all that time and money into these new features and then try to squash it with the algorithm, right?
Yep.
They in fact promote it. So try to get out of the I've got 5 posts. I posted them to my business page. Nobody reacted to it. Oh, well, ho hum, time to go home. Social doesn't work, right? That's one of the things that you do hear sometimes. From a platforming perspective, it's important to understand that TikTok right now and LinkedIn are both incredibly on fire. Doesn't really make sense now, does it? But they're on fire because their organic is outpacing everything else.
Yes.
And specifically TikTok, right? Like TikTok's ridiculous. I mean, you've got people on there with millions and millions and millions of views. And they just consistently get blown up and the algorithm gets shared like crazy.
Sure.
So, yeah. Oh, and another tip for businesses as well. So for example, businesses that might be more focused on LinkedIn, here's a real simple way to grow your LinkedIn business page. Ask people to follow it, like specifically call it out. Say, hey, I really want you to follow. We've got some great information that we're going to be able to share with you. But the way that you can get that is by following our LinkedIn business page. And just, it's a simple ask, right? And you can tie that in with a small contest. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick one winner a week and give away a $25 or $50 Tim Hortons gift card or whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right. So simple, simple and straightforward also really does work. Just to kind of go with that.
For sure.
Yeah, people really like to share. It's like sometimes really this, it really just is that simple act of just asking to use their content sort of thing and to share it.
And share for other people's, sorry, another way to do it. I'm a big fan of this. Share other people's content, integrate it with your content, thank them, shout them out, and contact them. Let them know, hey, you know what? This was a really great blog post, or this is a really great article. I appreciate it. I just want you to know that I shared it wherever, on Twitter or on Facebook, right? I emailed all of my, my customers with this content because I thought it was so good and I've quoted you, right?
Yeah.
That's a really great way to, one, build a relationship if you're talking about, I guess an interesting part of this, Matt, and I guess you too, Chad, because you just went through the program, is kind of 21st century PR and influencer relationships. Right?
Sure. Yeah, and I think that could be an issue with like a lot of companies. Maybe they just don't really realize what social is, and they're looking at it like a billboard or like ad space when they should be looking at it like a, it's a community to be kind of part of and to take part in and to share.
I'm pausing there. That's the clip. That was good. I'm making it clippable. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's absolutely true, right? And as a business, you have, you know, a lot. I think every business owner would agree. Relationships are the foundation of my business, right? That's how it's driven. Well, ironically, you have to, they don't, a lot of people, I wouldn't say a lot, but there's a certain fraction of people that don't view social the same way. When in fact, it is 100% relationship driven. That's what this thing is about. So in terms of how you perceive, you know, the power of the, I don't want to use mainstream media as a as kind of a crutch or like an insult or anything, but the reality is that those mainstream media sources are being overrun by the power of the influencer, right? And even in microcosms, like everybody everybody influences somebody, so everyone's an influencer, right?
Yep.
Now maybe you're not Kim Kardashian or, you know, someone like that, but you have a sphere of people that you influence and that you have that, that will listen to you. And it's important to engage with those people and kind of talk to those people. Oh, let's see, Susan's got a comment here. Too many companies only care about traditional or earned media and just don't get, in air quotes, in quotes, the importance of social or influencers. Yeah, that's very true, Susan. And ironically, those influencers are all over the place. I mean, you see them in the mainstream media, you see them in music, you see them everywhere. And to understand that in locally in Waterloo region, there are influencers, right? They're they're regional influencers, but they're influencers nonetheless. You know, and you know, one guy in town, Mike Farwell, who does a really great thing called Farwell for Hire. I would consider him a local influencer. He reaches a local audience really effectively, you know, and these, and a lot of these people are very accessible through things like Twitter. So there's no reason your business can't work with and try to develop those relationships in a legitimate way to help cut through that noise. And that's really what we're trying to do with all of this, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. For sure.
Now,
I think one, one point that I definitely want to segue towards, and is one of the articles that we have here, just to kind of talk about this. It's the article from Convince and Convert, Three Brilliant Examples of Brand Storytelling. Now, this article kind of goes into a little bit of detail, and some of these ads are pretty extreme, like Land Rover, IKEA, things like that. These are big businesses who have the budget to kind of produce these types of things. But I think what's important is, in this article, is anybody can tell a story. Any business can kind of create a story of their own. But does your story have any juice? Does your story kind of impact people? Does it bring people together? Does it make people want to share that content? You know what I mean? And this article really kind of tells a story of, you know, are you making your story about yourself, or are you making it about your audience? Because a lot of the times, if you're going to be making your story about the audience or about your customers, people are more likely to share that than if you're making it all about yourself. Another example that they have here is your story relatable? So for IKEA, for example, a lot of the times IKEA will use humor, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the times I remember the old IKEA commercials. I think they're still on the radio, where it's like IKEA, we hate rich people type thing. You know what I mean? It kind of resonates with people. It's funny. It's catchy. You know what I mean? People love it.
Yeah.
So are you doing those types of things with your ads? And this article, it goes much more in depth, but I think the essence here is, does your story have any juice? Are you putting any energy or relatability into your stories?
Yeah, 100%. So I've got the, I'm playing it muted so we don't get copy stricken for anything here, for whatever reason. But IKEA's commercial here is, they've got a shelf help guru. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about this is, you can create these types of videos. It's not like it was 20 years ago where you needed a multi-million dollar budget or tens of thousands of dollars in order to do this, right? You could shoot an entire extremely funny video, or relatable video, or touching video with very modest equipment. This is one of the things that I had suggested a while back, but I've loved this idea. We've done it in the past. Is, in every community, there are local improv groups and aspiring comedians and all sorts of different people that are willing to work for cheap, basically. Because, I mean, if you're a comedian, you're not making any money until, you know, not everybody is, you know, Chris Rock or Joe Rogan or these types of guys. And so one of the things that you can do is reach out to your local improv group, to your local theater or stage company, and see if anybody would be interested in helping you script something for your business and pay them a modest amount to get that level. And this can honestly be done very inexpensively. It doesn't need to have a huge budget.
Absolutely.
In particular, if you are able to feature them and say, right, in that you can create these. The interesting thing about that I like about this article, Matt, is if you look at every single one of these stories, you don't even have to have the audio on to tell. There's a lot of people talking in them. I mean, these are relatable storytelling style videos. They're not pushing any product at this point.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So it's definitely worth checking out for sure. That Convince and Convert article.
Which, it's the human connection.
Absolutely. And this is what it's all about. And I think for dealing with social is really understanding that you've got your paid media, you've got your earned media out there. And I guess in a sense, social is earned media combined, but you have to take a different approach to it. It's not the same channels that you might have learned, for example, about in your program, Chad, right? Like those channels exist. But social and all these channels are so diverse and so fast moving that
fluid.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredibly fluid.
It just changes daily, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Miguel makes a good point. Local creators love those opportunities, and it establishes a working relationship within your community. It sure does. It's like businesses supporting businesses, right? And I think that's important. So we're running a little short on time, but it's good. We had a lot of content to go through here today. I wanted to kind of, we'll wrap with a couple of other ideas, but the one thing that I do want to kind of touch on, and Neil Patel's talking a little bit about it in this article, which I think is important, because one of the key pushbacks to, storytelling, I for some reason it has this kind of soft connotation. Right. Which I find incredibly ironic. Like Steven Spielberg in Schindler's List is an incredible story, you know, Saving Private Ryan, any of these stories, like, stories drive our entire culture. So
yeah,
I always find it ironic when especially e-commerce in these types of things, when people say, well, you know what, but the storytelling doesn't drive a conversion, and absolutely it does. Storytelling is the foundation of driving conversions. And Neil Patel goes into some detail in here about why storytelling and how storytelling does in fact drive those conversions. You can put them into your entire narrative that does eventually lead to buying something from me, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're mm-hmm. able, you tell that story, you get that emotional connection with people. There's a couple of good quotes in here, like the shortest distance between a human being and the truth is a story. There's a lot of good ones like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So in terms of being able to tell a story, I think we've bit off a lot and we're chewing a lot here. For people in B2B, for example, there was actually a really great example from a few years ago. It was a really dry company. They made air valves, little air valves that open and close for like B2B industrial. Well, they ended up building a guitar out of it. And I'm not sure exactly how it worked. Yeah. So they ended up doing this, but then they had a video about the origination of it. So they would take it to their conferences. They would tell the origination story. They had video. It's that type of creativity. So this also does work for B2B businesses that may not think that, does this even apply to me? Right.
Yeah.
Check out that Neil Patel article.
Yeah, it's a great article. There's a ton of content in that. Holy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think one other thing to take away from both Gary Vee and Neil Patel in terms of how they construct their blog content, like, for example, they don't write that content themselves. They have writers on their team that are writing that. So it's important to understand that if you go read their content, they're telling a story. Like Neil Patel's writers have constructed a story arc inside of how to convert using storytelling, right? So that's a bit meta, but there you have it.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of things we've got because we are at 5 o'clock right now. And if someone is able to drop that link so anybody watching can share this. So we've got a fairly simple, it's a good start for a social media content calendar. But one of the things that are important in here, got some instructions here, are your guidelines and your themes, right? So content mm-hmm. themes that you want to go with. We've talked about probably at least half a dozen, if not more, themes during this live. And what you want to do there is fill those in these areas here. Okay. And use this, you can use this as a starting point. You can just bang out a few content ideas and then figure out different ways that you are also able to go partner with somebody, right? Shout somebody mm-hmm. out, work with someone within the community, tell your story, document your story. Those are all really important themes. And when you get your content themes set out, then you can start to create this narrative. And then what you're talking about on social is in fact a story as opposed to a bunch of posts about random things here and there and everywhere. Right.
Yeah.
And then I did want to point out one other thing here before we wrap it up. Where did my Instagram go? There we go. So I'm going to show you just some of ours. One of them that is a couple of takeaways are for businesses. So there, I won't play the audio while the audio's playing, but this is a waveform video that we take audio clips from Live at the Hive and we're able to put them into our content calendar and our content schedule as little nuggets of information from this live stream and podcast. So that's another way that you can repurpose that type of content, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
interview your business partner, right? Just even with audio. Talk to customers when they come into your store and ask them if it'd be cool if you could record a little video, and boom, you've got a testimonial and a video and audio out of that. right?
Absolutely.
So hopefully that was helpful. That's some tips on how you create a storytelling arc, how you can use the emergent formats on Facebook and Instagram and the emergent channels like TikTok to purpose that content properly and get it in the right places that kind of go around the algorithm. And hopefully we gave you some good tips in terms of different concepts and ideas you can use to cut through that noise. And lastly, like I said, don't be afraid. If you've got a post that's really performing well for whatever reason, give it a little bit of a boost to your geographic area or to your current fans and their networks. So hopefully that helps a bit. Thanks a lot, Susan, saying great show and resources. Susan, we're looking forward to having you on someday. And we're going to make it even just a voice interview. You don't even have to be on camera. We could do that.
Well, I already asked. So now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. I'm
calling it out. We would love to have you on, Susan. But you know what? If you just want to watch and be in the crowd, then that's okay too. Whatever works for everybody. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much. It's going to be a cool and rainy weekend here in Waterloo region.
Yeah, it's gonna be not so good.
Well, can't complain.
Good weekend for video games.
Look, as soon as it was like 31 degrees and sunny in the middle of the week, I was like, these are just the weather gods laughing.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much.
As soon as the weekend hits, it's like, boom, 14 degrees, rainy. So, anyways, Susan's saying, so I think that might be a pensive, like, I'm thinking about it.
Considering.
Just for hope. All right, everybody. Well, thanks a lot again. Matt, Chad, thanks a lot. Everybody.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Stay safe. See you guys. Healthy. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Take care.